been caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
I can simply tell you that his robbery spree is over. That's what you're going to get if you rob businesses or rob people here in Escambia County. Our deputies are going to do whatever they can to stop you and to stop you as quickly as they possibly can.
Sheriff Chip Simmons yesterday during a press conference that his agency held to detail the chase and crash and capture of somebody wanted in connection with several armed robberies at convenience store. The one that we saw most vividly yesterday was at the Raceway on Airport by I-110. Chip Simmons is here in studio with me. Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So I have a couple of questions. Just one question that I wasn't sure about. Actually, can we just tell the story briefly for people who may not have caught it earlier or when David's been talking about it? What happened in this case?
Well, we had identified Donson as a suspect in a number of robberies. We've been working with the ATF, with Pensacola Police Department, and so we kind of suspected
ATF.
Him. ATF, right.
Interesting. Okay, what was ATF's angle of interest in this?
Well, there's a potential for some of these cases to go federal.
Okay.
So we want to get them in the U.S. Attorney's Office involved in it from the very beginning.
Got it. Okay.
And so we were doing that. Well, and we had developed him as a suspect so much so that we were doing, our detectives were doing some surveillance on some vehicles that they thought that he might be in.
Okay.
And at one point we noticed that he had stopped out in front. He had stopped his car nearby the Raceway on Airport. And so we thought, oh, maybe this is when he's going to do it. Well, in the meantime, we see him exit we don't know what he's doing inside the Raceway.
So he wasn't pulled up at the parking lot of the Raceway?
No, he parked his car about a block away.
Okay. So that makes more sense
suspicious
to me.
We think we know who this guy, that this guy's the robber that we've been looking for a while now.
Yeah.
And we just didn't have probable cause to make an arrest.
And you weren't they couldn't see him with binoculars through the windows that this was happening.
All because he was the parking lot.
Got it. That makes more sense. Okay.
Our detectives who were in unmarked sheriff's office cars,
of course,
unmarked Tahoes, see him. They see him leave the Raceway through the parking lot, drop something, and ultimately it was money. He drops some money out of the bag, and then he's carrying his black bag, and he's wearing the hood and the sunglasses and all that.
It's all the circumstantial evidence you would possibly want. The robber uniform.
And so he leaves, and then we're like, okay, we think this is obviously suspicious. He gets into the car. We start to stop the car. When we get the 911 call, sure enough, it was a robbery. So now we knew we had a suspect. We saw him leave the store. We see what he's wearing, and we try to stop him. He's not stopping. The 911 call comes in, which verified that this guy did have a gun. So the chase is on, obviously. And we talk a lot about pursuits. We talk a lot about pit maneuvers. And sometimes there are pit maneuvers that are more aggressive than others, depending upon what the bad guy does and what we feel the danger to the community with letting this guy go.
And by the way, just pause you for a second. I was actually talking to somebody the other day, had never heard the term, and a pit maneuver is just an effort to stop one vehicle with another vehicle.
Pursuit intervention technique, I think is what it's supposed to be called. But I call it, we bump them, put them in a ditch, do something like that. But the bottom line is we use our car to stop their car. And it was an aggressive pit maneuver, if you will.
From the front.
Well, but you got to understand that we had to stop this car as quickly as we possibly could. And I think people need to also understand the dangers involved in what's taking place before our marked unit, before Deputy Abney struck the vehicle. We had an unmarked police car following them or trying to get them stopped and even tried to do a pit on them before. It's not as easy as it looks on television. You got to think about these cars are going pretty quickly and they don't care about the rules. And we also understand, or we knew, that this individual was an armed robber and he had a weapon. And so he's obviously very dangerous. So these are the types of things that make me proud to be associated with the sheriff's office. It makes me proud to say that our detectives were on him, for a long time. That makes me proud to say that we had a great working relationship with the ATF and with our other partners. And then when you see the actions of the deputy, this is why we have in-car cameras and body cameras, so that we can show and reveal just how great a job that they do.
Well, and you made the point in the press conference, you mentioned again just now about the danger. Here you have somebody that is a known you know, believed to be a known, you know, convenience store robber with a weapon.
Right.
And you're head on colliding with him and stopping him. And the video is kind of precious of his expression on his face that you paused it right
Isn't
at
it
that
great?
Moment. Yeah, that's fantastic. I almost wanted to turn that into a GIF because it's great. Yeah. Anyway, and then, but you don't know at that point, like that exact moment, is he going to hands up surrender, which he did, or is he going to go for his gun and fight back? And you're facing him 6 feet away through your, you know, right. I mean, across two hoods basically is the only difference between you. And it's a pretty, potentially a pretty, you know, concerning situation. You mentioned yesterday in response to the question, how many crimes was he connected with? It was obviously the four you had previously plus this one, three or four anyway. But it seemed like it might be a quite bigger number than that. And I'm assuming that the reason you can't say specifically is because of some of these federal issues and what might be involved in some of those events. Is that
That's absolutely correct. It's going to be a lot more than four.
Okay.
I will tell you that there are some things that we can say on a state level, which I do.
Yeah.
And there are some things that we don't want to compromise any investigation. So I wanted to wait until the federal authorities get their opportunity to process what took place and all it. But what happened again with the armed robbery is we had to take the step that we took. When we took it.
Do you happen to know, now, if he's done many of these, then we're talking about many clerks, okay? But do you happen to, I was amazed at how calm the clerk was, you know, doing what he did and responding and just not giving him any reason to shoot him, going through right. two cash registers in the process. Is he okay? Have you talked to him at all, or do you know?
I haven't talked to him, but yeah, his demeanor was pretty calm and collected. I'm not sure if he had been robbed before, but
yeah,
he was doing what I think that he should be doing to protect himself and mm-hmm. whatever customers might be there. But again, this guy had a gun, and the gun had a bullet in the chamber.
Ugh.
And you know, again, this guy was willing to do what he had to do to get away, and until we did what we had to do to stop him.
One of the things we've talked about in the past when it comes to physical force intervention with car versus car is the cost and damage to the Tahoes or Explorers. What do you guys drive?
Tahoes.
Okay, it's Tahoes. Okay. But you've put these enhanced bumpers on the front.
Right.
Which protects the car itself from having to do the, you know, repairs. How bad was the car? I mean, is that a common thing where you still have to do repairs to the cars? Or is it now with the new bumpers, are you more safe from that?
Typically on a stolen car that we're not sure exactly who's stolen the car, but yeah. we stop those. You'll get behind the car, and we teach our deputies to get behind the car and nudge their bumper with our bumper. So we typically
like moving
don't
sideways
have a lot,
across.
Yeah,
their
we don't
bumper.
Have a lot of damage on our car, and then we pin them. If it's damaged, it's superficial. In the case where it was the other night. Deputy Abney's car, it did have an airbag deployment. He hit the car pretty good.
Yeah, it was.
But like you said, we don't know. We know the guy had a gun, and he's first of all, he's already a convicted felon, and then he's got a gun. Then he's doing all his robberies. He needs to be stopped. He is a danger to society, and so he took the opportunity. Had he let him get by him, mm-hmm. then who knows what's going to happen behind it? Now, it takes some guts. It takes some wherewithal to do what he did and to say, you know what, I'm not letting this guy pass me.
Agreed. Is he okay, by the way?
He's okay. Yeah. Okay. He was okay. He did have some injuries. The airbag deployed.
Yeah.
And so he suffered some injuries there. But you know what? He did a great job. And I was smirking a little bit, smiling a little bit all day yesterday because of the good work that our detectives did, The cooperation that we had, and again, just to get out there and a commitment to catching a bad guy is something that I'm very proud of.
You know what I'm going to ask next. I think Detective Abney has earned a vinyl sticker on the side of his car. I think that, you know, I know you laughed me off last week, but I'm just telling you, if we're going to go down this path, I mean, he deserves a helmet sticker.
Well, the car is going to need some work. We're gonna fix the car a little bit, and again, that's why they get into law enforcement. They get into that so that they can do that type of stuff, stopping those types of bad guys, and actually the detective that was out there as well. I mean, think about this, Deputy Abney didn't get there for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
So our detectives were there behind him the whole time. She was not going to let him get away. In fact, on the video, I made sure that we saw her as well. She was on the back. She's the one, the second bump.
That came in there.
Yeah. She tried to do a pit maneuver on him first and wasn't able to do so. And then Abney was able to complete the stop.
Well, it was a great takedown, an excellent incident, and you know, fantastic police work all around. A couple of other stories that we do want to make sure to mention. I think it was on Citrus Lane that there was a deceased person found, a body found. Is that right?
Yeah, we're working it as a homicide. There was a male found off of Citrus with a gunshot wound, and that's all we have right now. Obviously, our detectives have been working on it. We got pulled away from one to work the other because what people may not understand is that the same detectives that work, you know, the homicide also were working this armed robbery. They work some very serious crimes, and usually it doesn't happen back to back like this. But in this particular case, they were pulled from one to the other. But we have all the available resources working on the active homicide investigation.
We also had you had your memorial service on Thursday during Law Enforcement Officer Memorial Week, and I've been to a couple. I haven't been in a couple of years, but this was a chance to use the new facility,
right?
Which has, I assume, better seating, better shade, better for this exact purpose, right?
Yes, I wouldn't say it has better shade. It's a memorial plaza.
Okay.
And so, yeah, this was our first opportunity to honor those who paid that ultimate sacrifice. We talk a lot about what our deputies do and how brave they are. They're brave because they understand that the worst could happen.
Right.
And this was our opportunity Thursday to say thank you in our new memorial plaza. It's not 100% complete. There's still a punch list of things we have to do. But it was pretty much ready. The wall is up. The names are up. There's a star etched in the center. There's some what we call stadium seating, but mm-hmm. it's, you know, three or four levels of seating. So it was just it was a great way to honor those who paid that
And also, by the way, the former facility that you used to have did not get destroyed. It got moved to Molino, right, at the substation up there, which is very nice.
Right. There was nothing. You know, really wrong with it. It was just too small, and
right.
It was oriented in a way that we didn't make use of the area, the property that we have up there. So a lot of effort was made to, hey, can you move this? Can you keep it all in one piece? And we want to put it up. There was room up there off in front of our Molino substation. So they did a good job of moving that thing up there. And so now that people that may live in the northern part of the town, if they want to pay their respects, then they can go up to our Molino substation. It's right off 29. So we're very happy with the way it worked out. Can you have enough, you know, monuments to the brave men?
Well, and you know, you mentioned the danger, and there was a sheriff's deputy pass away from a cardiac event after he helped somebody push a car off the side of the road, and you know, the stress of the job and the stress to his body and all of that, and you know, there are all kinds of ways in which your officers are at risk every day. It's not just the most obvious, you know, felon shooting back at you after committing a robbery. There's all kinds of things, you know, putting a ticket and somebody. You know, if they're in the roadway, basically, it can be all kinds of danger. Last thing I wanted to ask you about, that you had another incident on, is it Navarro Road? You had a fight over a bar tab and their shotgun was involved.
Yeah, we had two guys that knew each other, and there was an argument over who was paying the bar tab. And then we get a call on a disturbance at Navarro, and the claim is that I think his name is Jarman. Jarman pointed a shotgun from a porch at an individual that was sitting in a car.
Okay.
So there's some questions. Oh, you know, if he's protecting himself from his porch, well, it wasn't his house. It was the guy sitting in a car's house, and he was just letting that guy stay there for a period of time as they were acquaintances.
Okay.
And so when a deputy got there, they evaluated whether he was reasonable to think that guy's life was in danger. Typically. If I'm on my porch or my house, and someone comes to my house, first of all, you get the benefit of the doubt. But secondly, in this situation, I don't think that, or the deputies didn't think at the time that it was reasonable to believe that his life or someone else's life was in danger. So we ended up arresting him, charging. We retrieved the shotgun. We were able to do that because it wasn't his house. You know, he hid the shotgun in a house that wasn't his.
You don't have as much right to use castle doctrine on somebody else's house.
Yeah, and you
against
know,
against them,
right? Yeah, against the owner of the house.
Right,
that's letting you stay there. It's a little different scenario, but all things considered, you know, we talk about this all the time, and we've been doing it for years. It's a reasonableness standard. Is it reasonable to think that your life or someone else's life is in danger at that point? Mm-hmm. And it was not. The deputies that were there, that talked to witnesses, that evaluated the scene. They felt like it was not, so he was charged with aggravated assault.
And even if you guys don't determine that it's a legitimate self-defense or stand your ground or castle, whatever, you don't determine that at the scene, that can still be brought up through subsequent defense. It can be a strategy, legal defense, and so that's not ruling it out. It's just that your preliminary, you know, didn't show that, and you know that doesn't rule it entirely off the table.
Right.
Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, a pleasure. Thank you so much for the time. Thank you for the good work that your agents do, and for, you know, showing us. I mean, I love seeing the video, and we get to see what people do, and it's really an eye-opener a lot of times to, you know, what goes on that we might not necessarily see if we're not out on the roads and that stuff happens. We'll talk to you again next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.